Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. This is a recording of my Wednesday Dhamma talk, streamed live every Wednesday at 12 noon. This talk is recorded on April 19, 2017, and is on karma and rebirth, often misunderstood key concepts of the Buddha's teachings. If you find benefit from this talk, please consider a donation. Thank you. Peace. Greetings, friends. I'm John Haspel. Today's talk is on karma and rebirth. I'll read from an article that's posted on my website, crossovermeditation.com, and make some comments on this. The Buddha's words from the Anguttara Nikaya: I am the owner of my actions, heir to my actions. I am born of my actions and related through my actions. My actions will determine the fortune or misfortune in my life. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Karma and rebirth are closely linked concepts of the Buddha's teachings. Despite modern presentations that the Buddha taught karma and rebirth only to relate to the prevalent beliefs of his time and are not useful or relevant teachings, understanding karma and rebirth is essential to developing the Buddha's teachings. As the teachings of the Buddha were adapted and accommodated to fit individual and cultural views, the way the Buddha presented karma and rebirth was hard to make relevant in that in those instances. So, but to the Buddha's direct teachings, these are really essential teachings. The Buddha's teachings on karma and rebirth refuted many of the common beliefs of his time and helped clarify the purpose and experience of awakening. Understanding these teachings as they were originally presented in the context of Four Noble Truths brings insight and clarity to the Eightfold Path and can help one recognize contradictory and confusing Buddhist teachings that are later developed adaptations and accommodations to the original teachings. So the misinterpretations and misapplications of karma and rebirth, again, are mostly due to the later adaptations to the Buddha's original teachings. The Buddha taught karma to point to the understanding that it is directly through our intentional actions that we create all the confusion, delusion, and suffering in our lives. And the important teaching on rebirth is that it's not so much a future birth, a future physical birth, but what we will give birth to, what we can give birth to in each moment. And what that points to is that each moment holds the potential to awaken as the Buddha awakened, or to continue ignorance of Four Noble Truths, and to continue to give birth to ongoing ignorance, ongoing confusion, delusion, and suffering. So karma is not a condition imposed on us. We alone are the cause of our karma, and we alone are the cause of our rebirth. Karma should not be viewed simply as what is unfolding in our lives. Karma is the present unfolding of past intentional actions, moderated by the present state of understanding and quality of mindfulness. So what that means is, and this directly relates to the Eightfold Path, is as we deepen our concentration and develop the refined mindfulness to gain the ability to hold in mind the entire Eightfold Path as the framework for our practice and for our lives, we begin to obviate the effects of our past intentional actions rooted in ignorance and begin to incline our minds and develop the quality of mindfulness that's necessary for developing awakening. That's a long way of repeating what I just said, though. Each moment holds the potential to continue to develop wisdom and to continue to bring an end to ignorance of Four Noble Truths. As our present state of mindfulness and understanding animate our current actions are moderating the effects of past actions. Again, that's pointing to the notion of any interpretation of karma, meaning actions. So no matter what our past actions were, no matter how far down the road of confusion, delusion, and suffering our past actions may have taken us, does not determine the future of our unfolding of karma. In other words, it's not a one-to-one equation. The there's some many wonderful stories in the Pali Canon of people who had just horrible, horrible lives, very hurtful lives. And by developing the Dhamma, they were able to put aside any of the seeming consequences of those lives and awaken. And they put all that, all the possible scenarios that are presented, rooted in their past, that were now interrupted. So I know I'm being a little bit confusing about that. What this means is karma is not a one-to-one equation. In other words, no matter what we've done, even something as egregious as murder doesn't mean that in some future life we're going to have to suffer a murder, to be murdered ourselves. That's not what karma means. Karma means that in the moment, with unrefined mindfulness and the lack of concentration, we are going to experience the results of our past misdeeds because our mind is still agitated, still affected by that. But as we start to deepen our understanding of the Eightfold Path and start changing our present mindfulness and inclining it more towards being in accordance with the Eightfold Path, we're actually undoing the effects in this present moment. So karma is the present moment unfolding of past intentional actions moderated or modified by the present level of our understanding. There's a famous story in the Pali Canon of, I can't think of the gentleman's name right now. Well, never mind. He was a well-known murderer, a bloodthirsty fellow, so much so that he would cut off the people that he murdered, cut off one finger, and he created a necklace out of those fingers. And he'd walk around, this is during the Buddhist time, he was walking around the countryside. And everybody knew of Angulimala, I just remembered his name. Everyone knew of Angulimala the murderer, and everyone was afraid of him because of his reputation and because of the way he presented himself. He was walking down the road one day at the same time when the Buddha was walking in the other direction, and he spied the Buddha. And at the time, he had 99 fingers as a necklace hanging around his neck, and he wanted an even 100. He spied the Buddha, and he said, "Well, this fellow is going to be my next victim." But as he got closer to the Buddha, he noticed this radiant countenance that the Buddha maintained because of his awakened state and his mindful presence. And it's a rather long story, and I'll shorten it. But he kept quickening his pace, trying to catch up to the Buddha. But no matter how fast he walked, no matter how fast he ran, the Buddha maintained this distance, just out of reach of Angulimala. And finally, out of frustration, he questioned the Buddha, "What's going on here? How come I can't catch you?" And the Buddha replied to Angulimala that he is stuck in his own reasoning, his own mindlessness, and he can't escape anything except have that experience. And then the Buddha taught him briefly the Dhamma. And as he concluded teaching Angulimala about the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path, Angulimala's mind cleared and he awakened. And at that point, he never had any type of harmful thoughts ever again, and he never harmed another human being. So despite the fact that he had killed 99 human beings up until that point, he didn't have to suffer 99 murders upon himself in order to balance out his karma. Again, that's not what karma means. Because his thinking changed, and because his behavior that resulted from that change in his thinking changed, he freed himself from the result of his past actions. And he no longer gave birth to another harmful moment, which would then have caused more suffering. And that's the whole point of understanding karma and rebirth. What this means is the key to these entire teachings. Through mindfulness imbued with wisdom and motivated by right intention, the unfolding of karma can be inclined towards release and awakening. Developing understanding of the process rooted in ignorance, resulting in confusion and suffering, brings the ability to end ignorance with profound wisdom. By understanding the process, we can all reverse the process of ongoing ignorance and where that's going to lead us. Karma does not predetermine our lives. Mindful and well-concentrated intention within the framework of the Eightfold Path develops release from craving and clinging and the cessation of suffering. It brings karma to the end. The Buddha's words, whatever one continues to pursue with their thinking becomes the inclination of their awareness. In other words, if we're pursuing awakening, that is going to determine the unfolding of our life. We'll have the experience of developing awakening directly. Being mindful of right intention and abandoning thinking imbued with craving, clinging, and sensuality inclines the mind towards release. That's from the Samyutta Nikaya 29.102. All the events of life are not the result of individual karma. Most of what occurs in one's life is simply worldly conditions and described in the First Noble Truth as there is suffering, there is stress. Reaction to impersonal events will create additional karma and further conditions the mind. Reaction arises from wrong views of self, and it is wrong views that initiate and proliferate karma. Once all wrong views of self are abandoned, the establishment of further karma ends. So one of the things that the modern pop application of the word karma is often presented like we're walking around with a dark cloud hanging over us. We just have bad karma. Our life is just subject to that. Or when good fortune hits, it's, oh, there's some good karma happening to us. And both of those are obviously false. The other unfortunate notion that has developed is that worldly causes and conditions that we're all subject to, such as maybe getting stuck in a weather-related disaster, such as a flood, is often taken as that's just someone's bad karma. Or even suffering from some kind of disease or any misfortune is often portrayed as just the result of bad karma. And none of that's true. And it's so hurtful to people that just get caught up in worldly causes and conditions, such as, that we hear all the time of many hundreds and thousands of people getting caught in floods, tsunamis, and that type of thing. And the response is, all those people just had bad karma. And that's just not true. That's simply a consequence of living in the world. Karma plays out in the physical world, but mostly it's experienced as an anguished mind. And as we start to develop the Dhamma and our mind begins to develop concentration and equanimity, we're bringing to cessation that karmic quality of our minds that are subject to suffering. As with all of the Buddha's original teachings, karma is taught in the context of Four Noble Truths, was the goal of the cessation of suffering. In this context, karma describes the ongoing suffering rooted in ignorance and reinforced by intention. The Buddha's words, karma should be understood correctly. The cause of karma should be understood. The diversity of the results of karma should be understood. Cessation of karma should be understood, and the path developing the cessation of karma should be understood. And of course, that's the Eightfold Path. Notice that these are the same words the Buddha uses to describe the truth of suffering. Karma unfolding, whether experienced as pleasure or pain, is an aspect of dukkha and originates in craving and clinging. This brings dependent origination, or ignorance resulting in suffering, and right intention into understanding and ending karma. Dependent origination states that it is from ignorance through 12 observable causative links that all manner of suffering arises. So when we develop wisdom through the Eightfold Path, we are in fact ending that ignorance. And once we end that ignorance, no further confusion, delusion, and suffering will follow, meaning we've ended the impetus behind karma. And now we can continue to live lives of lasting peace and happiness. The Buddha continues, intention is karma. With intention, one does karma through thought, word, and deed. And what is the cause that initiates karma? Contact. And he's pointing, again, back to dependent origination. Dependent origination and the importance of unraveling the links of dependent origination. Through right intention, supported by the other seven factors of the Eightfold Path, and the ongoing process of ignorance resulting in confusion and suffering can be brought to an end through wisdom and the ensuing right actions developed through the Eightfold Path. The Buddha continues, and what is the cessation of karma? From the cessation of contact comes the cessation of karma, and how does one experience the cessation of contact? Through the Noble Eightfold Path. Now remember, we're not talking about annihilation. We're just talking about interpreting sensory contact through an ignorant mind that can only continue that ignorance and continue suffering and continue the impetus behind karma. But once our mindfulness develops through the Eightfold Path, and we no longer are reacting to sensory input, we're no longer creating any more additional karma, to use it in that way. And it is in this way that eventually we bring the result of past actions affecting us in the present moment to cessation. Again, I'll repeat what I've said twice now. Karma is the present moment unfolding of past intentional actions moderated by the present, by the present level of our mindfulness. I'm going to end that part on karma right there and just talk a little bit about rebirth, because it's another very confusing aspect of the Buddha's teachings. The Buddha never denied that there's no such thing as future physical rebirths. And I'm not going to get into a whole talk on reincarnation and rebirth and what the two different terms mean. But what he was talking about was and why he presented an Eightfold Path is so that we could end the possibility of creating any future rebirths that are rooted in ignorance. And of course he was talking about future rebirths. But most importantly, the way he was teaching the notion of rebirth is that in each and every moment, if we are continued to be rooted in ignorance, we can only give birth to another moment that is rooted in that same ignorance. And then that moment will continue confusion, delusion, and suffering. That moment will continue suffering. But because of impermanence and because of the way that we can moderate our karma by the present level of our mindfulness, as we start developing the Eightfold Path, as we deepen our concentration and change our thoughts, words, and deeds through the framework of the Eightfold Path, we are now moderating the effects of our karma. And we are starting to incline our minds more towards more peaceful, non-reactive states of mind. And as we do that, we're minimizing the past effects of karma in the present moment. As we continue to develop the Dhamma, we continue to give birth to moments in our lives that are not prone to creating more moments rooted in ignorance. We're giving birth towards moments that are prone towards awakening. And in this way, as we gradually develop the Eightfold Path, some quicker than others, and we maintain mindfulness, the refined mindfulness of holding in mind the Eightfold Path as a framework for our lives, we're giving birth to less deluded moments, to less confusing moments, to less moments that are rooted in dukkha. And eventually, as we develop awakening, we are no longer contributing to our own confusion, delusion, and suffering. And as we work through our own conditioned thinking, through the deepening concentration rooted in Shamatha Vipassana meditation and incorporating the other seven factors of the Eightfold Path, we are inclining our minds in a continual way towards awakening. And eventually, we recognize and abandon all conditioned thinking, and we recognize and abandon all thinking and all actions that would continue any type of negative karma, giving birth to any more suffering moments. And that is why I said at the beginning of this talk that this is an essential understanding of the Buddha's teachings. If it wasn't for the way that the Buddha taught karma and rebirth, and it was contradicting the way that that karma was presented during his time. During the Buddha's time, karma and rebirth were presented were rooted in the Vedas, and they're presented more in the way that the later developed Buddhist schools teach karma, more as something that is nearly inescapable, and it's more punishment, and that we're giving, we're creating an endless succession of future lives that are rooted in that karma, and nothing is further from the truth. The Buddhist teachings on karma point to the understanding that cessation of suffering is possible, again, related directly to the Third Noble Truth. And the path developing the cessation of suffering, the path developing the cessation of giving birth to another ignorant moment, rooted in ignorance of the Four Noble Truths, is the Eightfold Path. And so it is through understanding karma and rebirth and the proper application of these concepts that we can mindfully apply the Eightfold Path. So that's today's talk. I hope you find benefit from this talk. And just a reminder, I'll be back next Wednesday with another Dhamma talk, and all of my classes from my center in Frenchtown are also recorded live. There's a schedule on the website on crossrivermeditation.com. So thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. Please visit crossrivermeditation.com for guided meditations and instruction and Dhamma articles, recorded talks, and videos. We rely on donations to support these talks. If you find benefit from these talks, please consider a donation at crossrivermeditation.com. These talks are copyrighted and are distributed under a Creative Commons License 4.0. Please feel free to contact me through crossrivermeditation.com. Peace.